What a beautiful time of the year it is to be able to come together and worship. I love the Christmas songs, and we're going to look at the theme this morning of God being with us out of Isaiah 7 and then Isaiah 9 and then Matthew chapter 1. If you want to follow along, the verses will be on the screen. But we're going to read from Isaiah 7 first of all this morning, verses 13 and 14. The wicked king Ahaz had been asked to ask God for a sign. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put God to the test. He really didn't want to hear a fresh word from God. And then here's the word of prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. Then, verse 13, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Verse 14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The virgin will give birth, we're going to call him Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. Flip over to the 9th chapter, verse 6 and 7. Again, the prophet Isaiah is looking down the road, and he sees that darkness is going to turn into light, and then he says these words in verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on forevermore, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now turn to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 down through verse 23. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you've not left us alone, and that you're here with us this morning. We thank you for the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, that walks alongside of us, that encourages us, that enables the word to come alive. So you speak, Lord, and we will listen today, and we will follow you, because, Lord, we know your purpose, your plan is best. May we realize today, more than ever, that God, you're with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Christmas or Advent is a time where we don't really think about God sending his word. If you look in the Old Testament, God sent his word. He sent his word through prophets. He sent his word through his priests, his kings. He even sent angels to deliver his word. But Christmas is a time where we celebrate that God comes himself and gives us his word. The word, John chapter 1, the word was with God in the beginning, and the word came and dwelt among us. So Christmas is a time of us not just wanting a word from God, but it's a time where we give God thanks that he came to us. I read a story some years ago about a preacher and a college professor, a professor of astronomy. They were sitting on a plane together, and they struck up a conversation, and the professor of astronomy said to the preacher, he said, I don't go to church. He said, to me, all religion is just trying to be kind to your neighbor. And the preachers looked at the professor and said, well, that's kind of like all I think of astronomy is twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. I'm glad you're here this morning. And I'm glad that God is here. Emmanuel. God is with us. An artist one time drew a bleak picture. It was a small house in the background. It was all dark. There were trees around the little house, and they were covered with snow. It was a winter twilight. All was dark, and it was very depressing, very gloomy. But then with one stroke, he took a yellow crayon and drew a streak of light coming out of the window, and all changed. Everything was transformed by that light. And that's what Christmas means, doesn't it? That our Messiah, the light of the world, has come into this dark world. I want us to think about three thoughts this morning about God being with us. What does it really mean? What are the implications of God being with us? Emmanuel, God is with us. The first thing I want us to talk about for just a moment is when we think God with us, it means that God understands us. Because God is with us, he understands. He knows our predicament. He knows our plight because God has chosen to come and be with us. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said that this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor so that we who are poor can become rich. That's what Christmas is all about. In that Emmanuel, he's come to be with us so that we, out of our poverty, can become rich and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often quote C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said this about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. He said, Jesus Christ, the second person in the Godhead, the Son, became human himself. God didn't create many more brilliant minds than C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis, the great scholar, the brilliant mind, he said that God the Son became human himself. He was born into this world as an actual man, a real man of a particular height, with hair of a particular color, speaking a particular language, weighing so many pounds, the eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man, but before that a baby, and before that a fetus inside a woman's body. If you want to get the hang of it, he says, think of how you'd feel if you became a slug or a crab. God Almighty became a human being. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we think about God being with us and he understands, we can sum that up into his personality, who he is. He chose to be with us. The person, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, chose to be with us. So he understands all about our needs. For those of you who are teenagers, Jesus was a teenager one day. It's not easy being a teenager. Jesus was a teenager. Jesus was an outcast. If you ever felt like everybody turned their back on you, Jesus was an outcast. Folks turned their back on him. Jesus was insulted. Anybody ever insulted him? Jesus was insulted. He was tired oftentimes. The words he said oftentimes were confusing to people that really didn't understand him. He was tempted more so than you and I will ever be tempted. But because he trusted in the Spirit that was dwelling in him, he was able to overcome all those temptations. So we see when we look at God understands us, he's with us, we see a supernatural baby. We see a supernatural birth. We read out of Isaiah 7, the virgin is going to conceive and you're going to have a child. You're going to call him Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1, Luke also records this, that we believe in the virgin birth. The virgin was going to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God was going to be present within her.
Over in the sanctuary every Sunday morning in both of our services, we repeat the Apostles' Creed over there. Most of you have heard the Apostles' Creed. You probably know it. And it says in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the virgin birth. If you take away the virgin birth, you destroy Christianity. Because we believe that God came. Not just a good person. Some people who are not really wanting to be accountable. I think it all, bottom line, gets down to accountable. Accountable to God. So they begin to deny the miraculous. And they have to start with the virgin birth. And they conclude with the resurrection didn't really happen. And it's all because if you can deny the miraculous, then you're not accountable to a supernatural God. But the church for 2,000 years has believed in a supernatural God who came into this world through a virgin. The virgin was overpowered, overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God was birthed into this world. He understands because he's been in our shoes. So we also have, we see when we talk about how he understands, we have a supernatural battler, someone who battles for us. Very, very important that he didn't just come and wave his hands at us and said, I hope you have a good life. He came because he realized there were things in this world we could not overcome in our own strength. And by his giving himself for us, he gives us strength. Some of you remember Paul Harvey. Good day. You remember the news with Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Usually at Christmas time, Paul Harvey went home to be with the Lord, I think, in 2009, about 10 years ago. But at Christmas time, Paul Harvey told the story that goes something like this. I love the story, and I always try to weave it in at least sometime during Advent. That there was a family getting ready to go to the Christmas Eve service at their local church. And the father, at the last minute, said, I'm not going. Y'all go ahead and go on. I don't even believe. I don't want to be someone who's just there who doesn't even believe in the fact that God came to this earth as a baby. Just, I don't believe that. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to stay here and read a book. I'm going to get by the fire and I'm just going to read till y'all get back. So the family left and it was a bitterly cold wintry night. And all of a sudden, the man who's reading his book hears a thud on the big picture glass window in the living room, a thud. So he ignores it and then he hears it again a little bit later and he said to himself, I wonder if kids are throwing snowballs at my window. So he goes to look and it's not snowballs, but it's a little bird that's running into the window, flying into the window, thud, and it falls down. And he looks out and there's a whole flock of little birds just huddled together in the frozen snow. And he realizes that something's got to be done for them because they're not going to make it long. They need some shelter. So he goes outside and he goes to his barn and he opens the barn doors wide open, turns on the lights inside the barn, and he says, all right, little birds, come on in here. You can have some shelter for the night. But they wouldn't come in. So he goes out and he gets some bread from the kitchen and he makes the breadcrumbs, and they won't follow the breadcrumbs into the barn where they can have some shelter for the cold winter night. And finally he gets on the backside of them. He tries to shoo them into the barn. He tries to scare them. And they just fly and then they come back and get right in that same little place where they were. And then all of a sudden he thinks, if I could just communicate with them, if I could just tell them that what I want for them is if they'll just go into the barn, they'll be safe. They'll have food to eat. They'll be warmer. If I could just speak their language, I'd have to become one of them to do that. And then about that time, he hears the church bells. Oh, come all you faithful. Come worship the Lord who came to give his life for us. And Paul Harvey said that man just fell down into the snow on his knees and looked up and prayed a prayer. I pray this morning that we will understand that Christmas, Advent, means Emmanuel, God with us. He came. He didn't just send the angel. He didn't just send an announcement that this world could be saved. He came. And he battled, and on the cross, he said, it is finished. So you remember that today, that the one who could provide our help came and provided for our salvation. Some of us, maybe most of us, believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You probably wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But do you also know that You have to invite him in to be your Savior. He's not just the Savior of the world. He came so he could be your Savior. He died for your sins so that you can have life. God with us means he understands all about our needs. The second thought I want us to think about for just a moment. God with us means that he meets our needs. He doesn't just understand us. He actually meets all of our needs. In our scripture passage this morning, we read out of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the prophecy where Isaiah said, when Messiah comes, he's going to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We could sum all this up in power. He came to meet our needs. He is able to meet all of our needs. He is the wonderful counselor. To be a counselor, you got to be able to offer advice. In order to offer advice, you need to have at least some knowledge, some amount of knowledge. So you have the knowledge and you offer the advice, but you know what? That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good counselor just because you've got some knowledge and you offer it. But Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, he's the wonderful counselor because he has all the knowledge and he gives us, if we'll ask him, he gives us his wisdom, his knowledge, so that he can lead us and guide us. To be an effective counselor, you have to give somebody hope. You have to let them see here's a couple of options that might make your plight a little better, a little easier. Jesus Christ comes and he's the wonderful counselor because the Bible says that he takes the foolish things of this world and he shames the wise. The wisest of this world are put to shame by the foolishness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I wonder how many people thought it was foolish for an army to just circle the city of Jericho. The nation of Israel, they had their army just go around the city of Jericho once a day for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, well, you know the story, they went around it 7 times. Imagine the folks inside Jericho said, well, that's foolish to do something like that. They're never going to win this battle by simply just walking around the walls of Jericho. But God had special insight, special wisdom, and the Israelites were able to follow. I bet a lot of people thought it was kind of foolish for a little boy to go against Goliath with just a slingshot. That counsel seemed foolish to a lot of people, but God was in that, and God led David to bring down the giant. I wonder how many people thought it was foolish for Jesus to take just a group of primarily fishermen and commission them to go out and win the whole world. When they had all over them the smell of fish and fish scales. Foolish in the sight of the world. But God's wisdom is higher, isn't it? Has God ever asked you to do something on the surface? You said, God, are you sure? That appears to go against common sense. Against everything that I've even thought about? Are you sure, God? God, if that's you, I want to make sure it's you. Oftentimes, God will come in the presence of the Holy Spirit as the wonderful counselor, and he will not just guide us. He says, and this is what makes him so wonderful, he says, I won't just show you the path. I will be with you. I will lead you there. Has anyone ever done that for you? Just a couple of weeks ago, I was at Decatur General Hospital, and I went up on the second floor. One of our members had been in intensive care. And the bed was unoccupied. They'd already put clean sheets on it, and I couldn't find a nurse. There was not a nurse right there. So there was a precious lady. She was cleaning intensive care. She was pushing her buggy, and she was washing, cleaning the floor. And I said, the lady that was in bed 16, she said, oh, I think she's been transferred. She said, let me go find where she is. And she left her card, and she went for about 3 or 4 minutes. I didn't know she was going to come back. And she came back. She said, I found where she is. She is in room 400. She said, let me take you there. And I started to tell her, I said, I've been up to the fourth floor a lot. I know I can. She said, let me take you. So I followed that wonderful lady, and we went out and got on the elevator and went up to the fourth floor, and she took me right to room 400, and she said, there's her room. Now, that's kind of like Jesus wants to do for us, isn't it? To be the wonderful counselor. He gives us advice. He tells us where you need to go to room 400. But then he says, I'll show you. I'll go with you. So he's the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is not just someone who can give us advice. He is able to pull it off. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to his power that's working in us. In Jude, the short little book of Jude, right before Revelation, it says in verse 24, he is able to keep us from stumbling. Have you ever stumbled spiritually and skint your knees up? Well, God is able, through the wisdom, through the counsel that he gives us, because he is the mighty God, he's able to keep us from stumbling if we'll keep our eyes on him. He's the everlasting Father. Not only is he able to help us today, but he's going to be able to help us tomorrow and on down the road because he's the everlasting Father. From now on, he's God. Aren't you thankful for that? That his power is never going to wane. He's always going to be in control. He's wonderful at giving us his advice, his counsel. He's mighty. He pulls it off. He's everlasting. He's from now on. And then it says he's the Prince of Peace. Now, that's different than most kings. Most kings are bent on conquest and bloodshed, but not our king. Our king comes to give peace, and he gives it to the individual who looks up and says, Lord Jesus, I want your help in my life. I want your spirit to guide me. Lord Jesus, I want to have the peace of Christ, and he comes and gives that. He is the one who is with us to meet our needs. You don't have to leave out of here today saying, I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for Christmas Day when Jesus will appear and be my Savior. No, today he is God with us. Give him thanks right now in your heart that God is with us and he is able and he is more than willing to meet all of our needs. The third thought I want us to think about for just a moment before we sing our last song is that God is with us means that he will help us now. Because God is with us, he will help us. And because he's with us now, he will help us now. We don't have to wish for and hope for some pie in the sky someday. I believe in heaven as much as anybody in this room. But I'm thankful that heaven lives in our hearts, the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace. He's able to help us right now. When you go to the Holy Land, and Susan and I have had the privilege of doing this. You get on these tours, and they'll take you and say, here's where most people think that Jesus Christ was born. He was born here. And then there's another spot. Some people say, no, he was born. But you get the point. You can go, and then they'll take you to where he walked on water. You get in a boat, and you get out on the Sea of Galilee. Oh, it's beautiful. And you know that Jesus was here. And then you can go on the north end of the Sea of Galilee and you get on that mountainside and people say, this is where Jesus taught the multitudes. This is where he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. And you look out and, oh, beautiful view, beautiful sight. And then you can walk downtown Jerusalem and you can walk the very streets where they say he carried his cross. This is where Jesus carried his cross. He was sentenced to die and he carried his cross to Calvary. And then you go out to Calvary, Mount Calvary, and you can see where he was when he was crucified. All of that's very important and very touching, but what's most important to me this morning is that he was not just here at one time. He is here now. He ascended, and then 40 days later, the Spirit came to be with us, and he's within us. So we give God thanks this morning that his desire is to save our lives, to give us hope. If I were to ask you, and you were willing to come up and quote John 3:16, I bet most of you could do it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We know that. Boy, we learned that one in grammar school or kindergarten or in our 3 and 4 class. But do you know verse 17 and 18? Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come to point a finger and condemn us. Hey, we already know we're sinners. We know we're already condemned. We're lost. Now listen, verse 18. Some people will just read verse 17 and leave it there, but no, you got to tie in verse 18 also. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So God's desire this morning is that somebody will believe, somebody will look to Emmanuel, the King who is with us, and fall down before him and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I don't want to just believe in my head that you are Emmanuel. I want to follow you. I want you to be my King. This day, I want you to be my King. So that's the desire. And then he delivers. His power, his purpose is such that he is able to deliver us. He's the one who's able to lift us up out of the quicksand, out of the pit. As we saw last week, he said, go back and tell old John the Baptist, what you're seeing and what you're hearing, that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the good news is being preached to the poor. The good news is being preached so we can believe, so we can trust, so we can be lifted up. So he comes to give us hope. And this morning, we need to make sure that we don't ever separate the cradle from the cross. He came as a baby. He was born, put in a cradle, but he went to the cross to bear the sins of the whole world so that we can believe, so that through his death, through his vicarious suffering, we might have life. Galatians 1 verse 4 teaches us that's the grace of God, that Jesus Christ gave himself so that we might have life. John Wesley, and I'll close with this. John Wesley, the person that God used to create the movement that's called Methodism, worldwide movement. John Wesley, his house was right across the street from a cemetery, Tunsil Hill Cemetery. A lot of famous people are buried in that cemetery. His brother Charles Wesley, wrote many hymns. Isaac Watts, a great hymn writer, buried in that cemetery. Many others, but right across from the cemetery, there's the little chapel that was Wesley's chapel. And there's his house. And there's a monument to John Wesley. And in his house, on March the 2nd, 1791, the day he died, the last thing he did on this earth, the last words he said, he raised up, opened his eyes, and said, the best of all is, God is with us. In case you missed that, let me say it a little louder. The best of all is, God is with us. Wesley could have said a lot of other things, but he remembered the promise, Emmanuel, God with us. And Wesley had lived his life as a faithful follower of Jesus, and he said, that's the best news of all time. God is with us. Now, either this morning, you have your sins on your hands, or your sins are given to Christ, the Lord who is with us. I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and I want to ask our praise team to come up while I'm praying. And we're just going to have a moment of, while they're just leading us in something soft, to come to the altar. Just give God thanks. If anybody wants to come and say, Lord, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that I choose to follow you. I want your wisdom. I want your help. I want you to be mighty God in my life, the everlasting Father. I need the Prince of Peace to be my King. So you come and you can make that decision wherever you are if you want to just sit in your chair and kneel before him. Like the man who was struck by the church bells. Oh, come, all you faithful. Let's fall down before him this morning. Lord, you are our Redeemer. You are our King, and you're here with us. Lord, I pray that there's no one who's hungry or thirsty for you will leave here today with just that concept that you're with us. But Lord, may we make the quality decision to allow you to be within us as we open up our heart's door and invite the King of Kings to come in. Lord, help us this day to be honest with you and to do whatever you ask us to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.